China has promised to increase the coverage of affordable kindergartens and promote the affordable preschool education to more children. What is an affordable kindergarten, or 普惠幼儿园 in Chinese? So there's actually a special term here in the many documents that's been published here in China regarding this issue. So let's look at what's going on right now.
All right. According to a Xinhua report published last Thursday, about 85% of preschoolers in China, aged between 3 and 6, will be enrolled in certified kindergartens by 2020. Meanwhile, children studying at affordable kindergartens, including public and private ones, will account for 80% of all preschoolers by that date. And that's according to a document jointly issued by the Communist Party of China Central Committee and the State Council. And by 2020, the country aims to enroll more than 200,000 university students onto preschool education degrees annually, and plans to train 1.5 million preschool principals and teachers. That makes some sense, because when you want to have more preschools or affordable kindergartens out there across the country, you need people to be able to fill in the posts. You need teachers. And by 2035, preschool education, which lasts for 3 years, will be available for all children of the appropriate age, with a national preschool network set to be established. Affordable preschools will be the priority of the campaign, and that's according to the document that I mentioned earlier, issued by the Central Committee and the State Council. But the document also warned that the proportion of high-end kindergartens is now too large. Here we are. Finally, we have some documents or some serious policies aiming at expanding the services, childcare services in across the country, actually.
Yeah, and that's from the national level. So in China, that means that this is kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, so one thing I'd like to clarify here, and I'll need to borrow the knowledge from Tony, what's the difference between preschool and kindergarten?
That's a good question. Preschool, to my understanding, is when it's between the ages of 3 and 5. Around this age group, this is what we would call pre-kindergarten. And then kindergarten is like a year or two after that, I mean, to my knowledge. But it's a lot of pre-kindergarten institutions carry students through kindergarten as well. So it's in the States, it's a bit of a nebulous term.
Yeah, and I was trying to do some research as well, and I got confused, because it seems like in different English-speaking countries, it means different things. And, well, Tony, in a way, well done that you don't have a baby, but you know, like, the specific age that's usually encapsulated by the term. And sometimes preschool also means just like an umbrella term, right?
Yeah, the terms can be pretty nebulous in Chinese as well. I mean, as somebody who is about to have a kid, who wants to have a kid, I still can't sort of figure out what these terms each individually would mean. Because my understanding would be that actually preschool means 学前班, so the 1 year before you enter primary school. Mm-hmm. And then kindergartens, that's pretty straightforward. And yeah.
And my understanding is that preschool is before kindergarten, and then when they're so tiny, the kids, and they need a different kind of care, and they're not really ready to learn the basics of the foundation of primary school. But again, this is just one of those terms that I think it depends on the context and the country you are in to understand what's going on.
Right. And, you know, kindergarten is considered, you know, non-compulsory. So a lot of the parents will send them there. And I wouldn't really call it school. It's more like playtime. So the children are observed in their play. And in this time, they're learning by playing. So some of the teachers or caregivers will, you know, tell them, you know, where to put these blocks and, you know, which color is which. And so it's learning, but at the same time, it's a lot of play involved. So it's like school, but not really.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're under the watchful eyes of grown-ups, so parents shouldn't worry too much.
I'm not so sure, because I went to one of those kindergartens. I didn't learn anything, but except I got a bump on my head from some guy that I, from former classmate, and that's basically it. And I skipped the 1 year that I called preschool, and then in China, Chinese学前班. I skipped that and went straight to elementary school. And I had a lot of trouble struggling with first grade primary school. I didn't know what was happening. Presumably, a lot of other students went through that 学前班 stage, and they knew pretty much how to read and write. They knew how to interact with the teachers. So I... Actually, during my very first few weeks, I had trouble remembering what happened in class, especially when the teachers were giving out homework, home assignment. And I had no idea what was happening. And all of a sudden, I saw, I hear the teacher say, "Let's turn to page blah, blah, blah." And you would hear my fellow classmates flipping through the pages, and I didn't know what was going on, and we'll go home without knowing what the homework is, and we'll start crying, and my mom had to take me to the home of a classmate and find out what exactly the homework was.
Funny. It's interesting you bring that up, because as a former educator, I could always tell the students, the younger students who went to kindergarten and the ones that didn't. The ones that didn't, had the same expression, blank looks on their faces, and they were completely clueless.
Yeah, what is going on here?
Exactly. And it's like, turn to page 3, and they're looking around like, what is 3? So it's really tough. But then the ones that have gone to these kindergartens, they really prep kids for school. They introduce them to numbers and colors and things of this nature. So I would say it's a really good idea for parents to put kids in pre-kindergarten.
And it's pre-kindergarten. Yeah, okay, that's
or kindergarten.
or the year before school, yeah. But after kindergarten in China. Yeah. So confusing. And one thing I have to say, just listening to you guys, it takes specially trained and educated adults to take up this job. Because if you put me in that kindergarten as I am now, I would freak out.
You'll be shoving the boys onto the ground.
Are there parents watching?
No,
I am not allowed to do that. But it really takes a lot of training. That's my point.
Yes.
To know how to teach little kids and formulate their minds, and it's so different from adult communication. But that thing out of the way. Why is it that there's so much attention that's given to kindergarten construction, talent training, and this preschool education in general?
Well, there's been some kind of development in the preschool education area. I mean, the document pointed out that the China's preschool education developed at a fast pace since the 18th National Congress of the Communist Party of China in 2012. However, preschool education still is the weakest link in the whole education system. There's an imbalance in its development in different regions. The difficulty of entering a kindergarten and its high cost are still troubles for many residents. There are insufficient preschool education resources, especially affordable resources. The policies that guarantee the system and the supervision mechanism are not perfect yet. The establishment of the teaching teams lags behind. The teaching quality needs improving. The education provided to preschool is sometimes the education that should be provided in primary schools. That means parents are hoping that the teachers in kindergartens could help the kids steal a base, basically getting a head start even before everybody. Well, that's the feeling I got. I mean, I didn't attend the 1 year before primary school, and I was left confounded at what was going on in primary school. And hopefully, Chinese parents are hoping that the kids in kindergartens can help the kids get rid of that stage. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of these troubles, a lot of the obstacles that we are facing here, are perhaps because China has been developing too fast. I mean, China has been urbanizing too fast, and we have only started reform and opening up for 40 years. And before that, we had a planned economy, and that's when people basically depended on the companies for all kinds of services: hospitals, healthcare, childcare, education, that sort of thing. A Chinese company back then would own different kinds of apparatus, a school, a hospital, whatever what say you. And then when China started reform and opening up, and sort of we wanted to modernize the economy, and the affiliated affiliations to the companies are no longer considered cost effective.
Yeah.
And especially when you want to float a company on a stock exchange, and that's the thing that you absolutely have to get rid of. And as a result, a lot of the kindergartens were closed down. because when the company seeks to go modernize and go on the stock market, and as such, we sort of creates this loophole, this hole in the supply of the services, and then you combine that with the rapid urbanization when people are swarming into big cities, because presumably they will be able to enjoy better services and education or healthcare, but all of a sudden they find out that actually that's not the case. The infrastructure building hasn't actually caught up with the demand, the increases in demand. And yeah, that's why we are here. We're talking about how we could expand the services available to people everywhere across the country.
That's very interesting. And in just a few words, Limey pretty much gave us the history of preschools and kindergartens of the last 40 years. And there's one thing I like to clarify is that even back in the day, let's say in the 1980s or early 1990s, when we say company, often it's owned by the state. And it was still very much the government's behind a lot of these apparatus.
Yeah, providing all kinds of services.
Yeah, and back then, a daycare, kindergarten, that kind of thing, it was available. But then there's another factor in play, is that we need to look at the change in demographics, the change in the national policy that led to people having X amount of babies. I remember back in the 1990s and early 2000, there was a time when lots of schools in Beijing, they were merging, and kindergartens closed down or merged because there weren't many kids.
Because everybody was having one kid.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then there was that situation when the teachers were scared that they would be out of jobs, and some of them were out of jobs, and these places were taken over by other companies, private businesses, as the kindergartens shut down. But now we see that since 2016, the second child is allowed to be born in the Chinese families. And all of a sudden, there is this need, this demand for kindergartens. And it's not only the facility, but also the talent behind it. And this is not something that can be grown overnight. Mm. So there, in between, we see this transitional period when sometimes families are paying a lot just to get their kids in kindergartens. And one thing to bear in mind in China, kindergarten and preschool education is not included in the compulsory education, which is pretty much free in this country. Mm. Yeah, so is all of this too overwhelming for you, Tony?
Well, there is definitely a long history with kindergarten and a lot of the things that have happened. And then you mentioned a lot of things about kindergarten, conforming overnight. It's very difficult, and you need to have the right training and the right teachers in place to train the kids properly. And in the U.S., we have the, I guess you could say, public kindergartens, and then you have ones that are private. Obviously, privates are always the better option.
Expensive.
Yes. But on the other end, they tend to be very, very expensive. And depending on where you live and the quality of the, the preschool, the average cost can range you from about 4,460, which is around 30,000 yuan, to about 13,000 per year, and that's around 90,000 yuan. So it will cost you about 372 or 2,100 yuan per month to about 7,000 yuan per month, and that's according to a National Association of Child Care Resources and referral agencies. So it's actually not very expensive depending on where you go, but if you're from a bigger city, for example, New York, San Francisco, it goes up significantly. I mean, some people are paying about 4,000 a year. I mean, 40,000 a year, excuse me. 40,000 a year.
Is it U.S. dollars or Chinese yuan?
I'm sorry. U.S. dollars, 40,000 a year. Wow. So that would be around 280,000 renminbi per year to send your kids to a school in New York or San Francisco. Very, very expensive. But, I mean, the tuition covers, your lunch and your textbooks. The academics at the school include language arts, social studies, math, science. So it's really giving your kids that preparation that's necessary.
Well, it's always good to have to let people have that option should they can should they be able to afford it. For instance, to send their kids to a very high-end, private, and expensive kindergarten or preschool. But what matters is the percentage. What happens to, in China is now is that we have a much too high percentage of private kindergartens that are much too expensive, that are much that are things that are not affordable to average Chinese citizens, and that's a problem. And in order to reduce the cost of living, I mean, certainly is making a lot of sense to expand the services available to parents here in this country, especially when we talk about how China will really encourage parents to have more kids, I mean, given in order for the population growth to be balanced. And actually, the major obstacle sitting in front of a lot of parents are the cost of raising a kid, and the price of kindergarten is one of it. I mean, it's okay when you have one kid and you say, okay, I know the kindergartens are grossly overpriced, but we have only this one kid. We've got to make sure that they get the best education. And so we suck it up and we send them to the expensive kindergartens. Now that people are facing the difficult choice of whether or not they should have two or more kids, and the math is not going to sort of work out.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Lai Meng, because for you and I, we belong to the, now we're going to increasingly become the rarity of the world, a member of the generation of the only child. And our parents often raised us under that philosophy, and there's definitely the good and bad to that. But now when a nation is looking to encourage people to maybe have more babies and have a bigger family, then, a lot of things have changed. But here I think it's really interesting. As we see, one of the ills, as Lai Meng has presented right now, is that there's too many high-end kindergartens.
Percentage-wise,
yes. Mm. But maybe that shows that in the short term, sometimes market forces don't do you good, because it's obvious that building an expensive, exclusive preschool or kindergarten is far more lucrative deal as opposed to building an affordable one. So then people put their investments and funds into building those kindergartens, but now that's not the case anymore?
Well, I would say the market forces are still at play here. I mean, the reason why investors choose to build those high-end private school, private kindergartens is precisely because, for one thing, Chinese parents can afford, actually, with a struggle, to send their kids to those high-end and expensive preschools. And on the other hand, there's not enough supply of teachers, I mean, which is why the country is hoping to enroll more than 200,000 university students onto preschool education degrees annually and plans to train 1.5 million preschool principals and teachers. Because right now, what we're talking about in terms of salary, those people, the teachers who are working in kindergartens and preschools, they don't make a lot of money. And they're talking about an average of 2,000 to 3,000 yuan. That's not a lot of money. But even so, there's not enough supply in this. I mean, people don't feel like being rewarded enough by going into that major. And that's why we have a deficit in terms of the supply of teachers. So no matter how much you choose, no matter how many high-end school, or no matter how many affordable schools you choose to build, you still got to have people to fill in the post. When you don't have teachers to fill in the post, what can you do? What, buy robots to watch over the kids?
Yeah, well, maybe that's going to be the future.
Yeah, that's an ugly fact. And I was reading something similar on the U.S. side in terms of what they pay a lot of the caregivers at some of the schools. Annually, it was like 21,000 American, which is close to around 140,000 a year. And for a lot of teachers, that's not really an incentive to go into that field. It's, you know, everyone wants to, well, be able to get a return on investment. And
you want to be respected at the job you do.
Exactly. So it's about a third of what a credentialed teacher would make. So I think that's another hurdle that, you know, for this type of work that people are going to have to, that the government or a lot of the schools are going to have to get involved in, perhaps increase the salary, you know, which gives people a lot more incentive to want to do the job.
Yeah, well, And then we need to talk about money. And even with this very ambitious goal that the Chinese government has set for the kindergartens and preschools across the country, I mean, we're talking about this very exciting term in Chinese, 普惠幼儿园. So I think the denotation would be comprehensive and beneficial. So affordable for most folks. And I think that is the most important issue here. That is not to look at the super expensive or we need to look at what the masses need, basically.
What does it mean to be Puhui?
Yes, and what does that entail?
Well, affordable kindergartens, they include public kindergartens, kindergartens run by collective groups. That means a township or village and rural style, and departments or neighborhoods and private kindergartens that provide affordable services at least less than 2,000 or 1,500 yuan a month per student. And that sounds to me pretty affordable, because I understand that one of our colleagues drops her kid at a daycare center and she pays 2,700 yuan every month. And I think that's the cheapest thing I've heard of in Beijing. So affordable kindergartens at less than 2,000 yuan, that's affordable.
That's affordable? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes I just realize it's so costly.
Sometimes you don't realize how much people are making.
And I'm just looking at my paycheck and I'm thinking...
Yeah, that's exactly
why. And this is
why.
Just a kindergarten, just preschool.
Preschool, yeah.
And when they grow older... Wow, there's so many zeros I'm trying to count.
when they grow older, they enter primary school, and that's compulsory education, and yeah, that's basically free, so you're fine.
Okay, so I'm fine for 9 years?
For 9 years, and then
then there's university, and don't send them to America, because it's going to cost you 10 times the amount.
maybe 20 times, perhaps.
Well, that's really interesting. There's also the public kindergarten that's supposed to be even... Is it like cheaper, or is it?
Well, the public kindergartens are the legacy of the planned economy age, and then they probably are affiliated to government institutions and stuff, and yes, they are funded by the government, so they are relatively cheaper. Talking about 750 yuan every month, or going as low as 250 yuan every month. That's very, very cheap. I wouldn't say affordable.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's different classification as well, right?
Yeah.
Public
yes.
schools like A or B or...
Yes. Well, 750 being the most expensive.
Okay.
So that is the threshold for the public kindergartens.
Yes.
And then the private ones, they could be madly expensive.
Yeah, I'd be content about. If my kids would be able to go to one of those schools that cost less than 2,000 yuan, yes.
And the... government is looking at building more of the affordable kindergartens. And in this process, I wonder if it's just going to be new kindergartens shooting up, or is it going to be some of the kindergartens converting to affordable? And also there's a set criteria that and requirement that the kindergarten needs to meet, so that
like floor area for the kindergarten,
yes,
per capita every student, and infrastructure that you get, I mean the green area, I mean where kids can go and play ball, and also the number of teachers. So there are all kinds of criteria, and I imagine the government and the private sector will go about it through various aspects. Could be renovation, could be erecting new buildings. I don't know, but I think it's a good trend, because as long as the supply of kindergartens keeps increasing, that the price of kindergartens will go down.
Okay, and certainly a lot of this money is coming from the pockets of the parents, but another lot of the funding comes from the government with subsidies to kindergartens. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.